Sing it to him, Muddy. That's a hard place to be in. Get up out that muddy water. I ain't know. Alright.
When you up in that muddy water, fight longer, fight harder, get stronger. Never give up. When you up in that muddy water.
I done been up in that muddy water.
I'm sorry, I'm standing on solid shore. And I don't wanna go back in that muddy water.
I ain't going back on that muddy water.
Okay. I told him, wake up. It's the first of the month. I got up, I got my hustle on, it's time to stack up. Like Pringles and Legos and Jingles. And yeah, I play with bricks. Stack them up like in the block. Take you back to 06. When a dude move plenty weight, holla at young Snoop, he could get a full plate. Known by every hood, man, woman in your area. Always on point so you can enjoy the best of it. Then I'm on the move, old Atlanta 7, Mike Vick. When I was in the whip,
Yeah, we're going to pump the brakes right there. I know everybody can relate to having to deal with the muddy water or trials and tribulations in their life somewhere, somehow. We all got that. Welcome to the show. This your host, Lamont Patterson, a.k.a. the Elixir of Love, not to be confused with Love Tonic. And I'm joined with my esteemed colleague, Dr. Matthew Anderson, the best of the best of the best. Welcome to the show, everyone.
That's always a good introduction. Hey, it's good to hear your voice, man. Good to hear.
Good to be heard.
You doing good?
Good to be heard. That means that we are live and we are kicking it.
Yes, we are.
And
you know,
that is truly a blessing.
Yeah. Are you doing good now? You doing good?
Yeah, man. I have to tell you about this one later on, man, because it's going to take a little bit of time. But I had to have a whole nother root canal, man. It's crazy.
Oh no!
They did the wrong tooth, so that's a show itself. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, so now you own the dentist office, I guess. I got a number you can call, man. Take care of you.
Hey, well, we need to do a show called 1-800. We're gonna sue you.
Oh my God, that's terrible. That is terrible. I don't know why I'm laughing. That is terrible. I feel for you. I really do. That's terrible. Oh man, yeah, we'll have to do it. So we got a good guest tonight. It should be a very interesting conversation we're gonna
have. Maybe he can give me some ways to deal with this pain without dealing with these pharmaceuticals. But anyway, Matthew, go ahead and introduce our guest.
So we have Chris Young. Chris, are you here with us?
I am. And I have something for that
Chris.
Root canal.
Oh, good.
It's called clove. C-L-O-V. Some clove oil.
That works.
That pain,
clove?
Brother. Clove oil.
Clove oil.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Smells
we're gonna
good.
Get some, but we're going to get some clove today.
Chris, thank you for being with us. I'm going to introduce you, give our listeners a little bit of information about you, and then Lamont and I are going to ask you a whole bunch of questions. But let me just tell our listeners a little bit about you, and then we'll get right into it. Today we have Chris Young, who is the founder of the Ayahuasca Church of Mother Earth, that's now in Orlando, right in the Orlando area. He's also a spiritual guide and a medicine man. And Chris and his wife, Verena, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, founded Soul Quest Church of the Mother Earth in September 2013. Their purpose is to protect the practice of North and South American spiritual traditions, spiritual ceremonies, sacred practices, and natural healing ways. At a young age, Chris heard the call to be of service to humanity, and in 1996, he received a certificate in phlebotomy and medical assisting, where he worked in a gyro psychiatric unit dealing with the study, prevention, and treatment of mental disorders with the elderly. In 1997, Chris went back to school to study emergency medicine and received an EMT certificate and began working as an emergency room tech at a local hospital. After several years working in the medical field and seeing the profit-focused side of Western medicine, definitely, Chris decided to move to Germany and spent 3 years studying alternative medicine. In Europe, Chris gained extensive experience working with sacred plant medicines and their ritualistic ceremonial traditions. Chris discovered his spiritual passion for ayahuasca after attending countless ayahuasca religious ceremonies. He finally realized his true calling to bring the sacred plant medicine back to his homeland, the United States. And in a visionary state, he was instructed to build an ayahuasca church, teach from the ayahuasca manifesto, and bring the miraculous healing medicine of the spirit of ayahuasca to folks back home. So now we have Chris here, who has founded this church and has been doing these very amazing kinds of teachings and workshops at the Ayahuasca Church of Mother Earth. And Chris, we're happy to have you. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. Yes, we've been in Orlando for 2 years. Actually, today would be our 2-year anniversary. We started about a year ago in downtown Orlando in a very small, quaint area called True Serenity. And it
Chris?
At first.
Chris, I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, 1 second.
Oh, that's
can
much
you hear
better.
Me now?
Oh, yeah, that was much better.
All right,
much better.
Anyway, I want to say thank you for the introduction. We here at SoulQuest, I've been here in the Orlando area for 2 years. Today would be our 2nd year anniversary.
Wow.
That we've been here 2 years. It was a long road getting here, but we actually made it. A lot of things have had to come to pass. We're still actually struggling to secure our religious right. And why I say that is we're in the process of becoming the 3rd legal ayahuasca church in the United States, applying for something called a DEA exemption. And that process is still on the way. Now, the United States government has a process for anybody that wants to use a controlled substance for their sacrament. The NAC, which is the Native American Church, they had to go through the process so they could use peyote, which the DEA did not give this to them.
Chris.
They actually dispute.
Chris.
Yes.
Hello? Got a question. Not actually a question, but maybe a slight suggestion. I know I want you to hold that point, but I'd like to give our listeners a little bit more information and treat us, everybody, like we're infants, because a lot of people don't even know what ayahuasca is.
All right, well, let's give them an idea of what ayahuasca is.
Yes, how about that? You know what I mean?
All right. Well, ayahuasca.
Chris, he's talking about himself there. He's not talking about anybody else.
Okay, well, I'm the little guy in the back of the class. My hand is up.
Okay, well, let me explain to your listening crowd what ayahuasca is. Ayahuasca is a very, very powerful plant that's been used for more than 10,000 years in the Amazon as medicine, as a spiritual sacrament, and as a way of life for a very, very long time. It's known by different names such as ayahuasca, hasca, yahe, and different types of entheogenic names to the different types of tribes around South America. In this medicine, there's two plants. One is called the ayahuasca vine, and the other one is called chacruna. There are scientific names for these, but it gets a little complicated when we get into the scientific names. But the basics of them are the ayahuasca, which is more of a cappy vine, and it holds the more of the spirit of the medicine within that vine. Now, in that vine, the chemical that is mainly known is called harmaline, and harmaline is it has a very slow hallucinogenic effect, but very minimal. It is the chacruna, which holds the more powerful DMT or dimethyltryptamine in it, dimethyltryptamine, which is the content that is not legal in the United States. And when you mix these two plants together, you create a brew called ayahuasca. And
now see, I have to tell my esteemed colleague, I asked a brilliant question.
You always do. You always do ask really good questions. So,
I mean, Chris Young has educated me a whole lot because I had no idea about the origin, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't know either. But some of us wasn't brave enough to ask you that question, Chris.
I can tell you a little bit more about good how long it's been.
Yeah, 10,000 years.
Years ago, I mean, many, many thousand years ago, this plant was only used by the shaman himself. He would take the medicine and go into a more spiritual trance and learn about other different plants within the Amazon. You have to ask yourself, how many plants are in the Amazon? How many vines are in the Amazon? How many thousands of leaves are in the Amazon? How was one person able to find this particular vine with that particular leaf, cook it for 3 days, and then consume it? One of those things, what came first, the chicken or the egg? How did this actually happen? So that's where how powerful this medicine is and how it actually got here is through different types of spirits actually talking to the Amazonian people and explaining to them where to actually go and find this particular plant and use it with this particular leaf and mix them together and cook them.
So originally it was only the shaman that used it. And at what point did people, in addition to the shaman, begin to use this?
Well, after many ceremonies of, I think it was about 5,000 years later, they actually started allowing the higher people within the Aztec community or the people to use the medicine. And then they saw the healing potential that it was actually causing, not just for the man to learn, but also the healing that I was actually helping with the local people. And so then it started just evolving to where the medicine man was actually using this to actually heal everyone from any type of illness, because it works as an antibacterial, to any type of addiction, such as alcohol or drug abuse. It really helped with different types of modalities of those who were suffering.
Amazing. So this is never used as recreational. It's always a part of a sacred ceremony.
In the Western world, you'll never, ever, ever find ayahuasca on a corner of a street with someone trying to sell it as a drug. There's nothing fun about puking and shitting and crying and going through emotional stuff at all. This is not a drug. This is not a recreational thing.
So what happens then? Generally speaking, when a person in your ceremony takes this drug, how long does the experience last, and what sorts of things does a person go through as they are experiencing the drug's effects on them?
The first thing, this is definitely not a drug. It is considered medicine throughout the world. There's some media people would like to call it a drug, but itself is a pure medicine. When someone were to consume this medicine, the first thing that's going to happen is the body is going to be detoxed. It's going to cleanse out the body. So there's certain side effects that can happen. One side effect that can happen is it's called purging or vomiting. And this is to clean out the body energetically as well as physically. The other thing that can happen as a side effect is diarrhea. It cleans out the lower part of the body. So it's more of a cleansing process through this before everything can really work properly.
Okay. Is that does that go on for hours, or what exactly happens at that point?
Not really. Depending on how much your body needs cleansing, the medicine takes roughly about an hour to an hour and a half to actually first kick in. And then after the hour and a half kicks in, if the person hasn't not felt the medicine because we do start people off at a lower dose, we will give them an extra dose. And somewhere between that 1 and 3 hour period, they will purge. And after they, then they're able to feel a lot better and then let the medicine do what it needs to do.
Okay. So this is somehow connected to Mother Earth, right?
Correct.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, ayahuasca, as our religious belief, as the Church of Mother Earth, if I were to compare Western or the religious beliefs of normal humans versus what we're actually doing, they use a Bible. We use the Ayahuasca Manifesto. They consider their savior as Jesus, which is a really good man. We consider our savior as ayahuasca, as a female entity. And then we consider our God Pachamama, or Earth, and everyone has this God that they've never seen or touched or heard of. Never. No physical evidence. To where we believe that our God of Earth, which is our physical evidence, if we were to destroy it, we would no longer live. Our God gives us soil to plant food to grow, air to breathe, water to consume. It gives us everything we need to survive. And that's how we implement our religious belief within the Church of Mother Earth, or Ayahuasca Church of Mother Earth. So what ayahuasca does for us is she gives us instructions through something called the Ayahuasca Manifesto. And the Ayahuasca Manifesto is really able to lay down everything for us to be able to understand. My role of the expansion of the human consciousness, my purpose with the human beings, about respect of my sacred nature, about the ayahuasca churches, my benefits of my use, the people of my world, create awareness of your pineal gland. The hallucinations is spectacle. The visions are virtue. The universal guide of conducting an ayahuasca session. About the quality of facilitators or shamans. Preparation and the precaution of diets or dietas. Traffic and management of my sacrament. Social impact and controls of urban society. The Ayahuasca Prevention Project, my planetary mission. I would definitely like to talk a little bit more about the ayahuasca and her planetary mission. And the ayahuasca goes with the authority vested in me by the higher enlightenment of hierarchies. I will expand, branch out, transform into multiple culture forms in accordance with the geographical region. I will blend into every culture. I will teach them the way to delight while allowing them to exercise their powerful free will. Mankind then will consciously exchange its rapidly deteriorating world for one with new rules. With this new vision of social organization based on love rather than fear. This is my planetary mission, to become one of the most powerful tools in the service of all humanity to reach its divine destiny. That's all I'm looking for. My global expansion has begun, and there is no turning back. My passive state during many centuries has ended. I am now running in physical survival mode. I have created the demand for my medicine, yet the cause of my own uncontrolled extermination. If I don't spread globally, I will face extinction similar to humans. If they do not seek within themselves, they will not be able to evolve into the expanding consciousness that is destined to the human species. We are both together in this cosmic affair. For survival reasons, I must spread globally, while humans must accept my sacred medicine to heal their afflicted soul, and to be able to achieve its divine destiny. I am the medicine of the humankind. a medicine necessary, not sufficient, to collectively begin in the glorious return into the light. Exercise your individual free will to change collective free will. Let's work together to increase our existential vibration to a higher level and rejoice living cosmic existence. It is time to embrace humanity with my healing. Extend beyond Amazon basin, reaching global expansion, spreading through all the soils and tropical climates, growing in every forest, in every sidewalk, in every house garden. Care about me, harvest me, spread me around the world. Warriors of light around the world, help me help you. This is our mission. This is the ayahuasca mission. This is what our church is here for.
So that's a pretty massive mission.
It is.
Can anyone and everyone partake in this mission?
Anyone and everyone can. This is the first mission for a church to become an ayahuasca church without a Christian background. There are two other churches in the United States that have mixed Christianity with ayahuasca.
Interesting.
And these two churches are called Santo Daime and the UDV. The UDV, back in 2006, won a Supreme Court ruling in the United States stating that ayahuasca can be used as a spiritual sacrament. Not only did it win a Supreme Court ruling, it won a Supreme Court appellate ruling. Shortly thereafter, Santo Daime, which is another Christian religious group that uses ayahuasca as a sacrament, went to the district court and won their right to use ayahuasca in district court. SoulQuest Ayahuasca Church, Mother Earth, is the third church that is filing this exemption to the DEA. Once we file this exemption, the DEA has a choice. That either they can give us and grant us this right, or we go to district court and get it anyway. You cannot allow one church in the United States to partake into a medicine and say no to other. That's like telling the Catholic religion, you, sir, can drink red wine, but this church over here, they can only drink grape juice. You can't it's called religious discrimination. Go ahead.
I understand that. That's very logical. I do understand that. Where I'm still back at the beginning, and I need your help with this, is I'm interested in, you know, there are people out there, including me, and who are saying, you know, this sounds like an interesting thing. What kind of real benefit am I going to get from, say, putting myself through what sounds initially like an unpleasant process of, you know, maybe throwing up and having diarrhea
the
for a while.
The purging.
Why is this going to be worth it, really, is what I'm saying.
Okay. A lot of people that come to us are coming to us because they are either wanting to wake up or already awake. The other people who are curious, such as yourself, carry around a lot of emotional baggage, not only from this life, but from previous lives. A lot of people who come here fast on a diet. It's called a dieta. So they have no kind of food in their stomach, and they've been on this diet for a couple of days. When they come to us and they consume the medicine, they purge, and the first question they ask when they got about a half a bucket full of stuff, they ask me, Chris, where did all that come from? I haven't eaten in 2 days. Because this is emotional baggage that we've carried around. To release that emotional baggage that you probably didn't even know you had, then you feel lighter, and you actually don't have this in your system anymore. And a lot of times you have things that you, as a child, or even in a past life, have probably suppressed that you didn't even know. And this medicine will go really, really deep down and to grab a hold of that and bring it up, and it will come out as a purge. And not only will it come out energetically as a purge, you yourself in a visionary state will actually see it.
Okay.
So it helps remove trauma. And it also helps to reconnect oneself of the real higher you, your higher self of a person.
Now some people have almost like, or maybe not almost, but we might call it transformational experience with this. I'm sure that there are people out there saying, well, how is this like LSD? So I'm interested in your response to that.
Correct. It's nothing like LSD. LSD is a chemical, a man-made chemical. Now, it is a man-made chemical that will actually open a consciousness and raise awareness. But the difference between LSD and ayahuasca is ayahuasca is naturally made, and it is like it's your body accepts it, and you're able to go through the process a lot more easier. Versus if you were to take LSD and it goes bad, really bad, you're really bad for the next 8, 9, 10, 12 hours.
Yep.
That's true. Matthew didn't want to ask you about mushrooms, Chris.
Well, if I were to compare ayahuasca to anything, it would be more psilocybin than I would compare it to LSD for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm not an old hand at either one of those, but I'm very curious about it, and I listened to a number of videos. I can't think of his first name. His last name is Hancock, I think. You know who I'm talking about?
Hancock.
I'm sorry?
Yes, John Hancock.
Not John. Anyway, I think he's an archaeologist. I'm not sure. But he had a lot to say about the how ayahuasca, some version of that, has existed in
Graham
in great religion. Graham, yes, that's it. That sounds right. That he sounded highly intelligent and insightful about this, and that's what got me more interested in it. And that's why I contacted you, because I thought his talks about it on YouTube were some pretty interesting things about not only purging, but also increasing a person's compassion. Or also, you mentioned that there have been situations in which people have been aided in their recovery from addiction in this, I think.
Hmm. Right.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we've, throughout the years I've been using this medicine, we've come in contact with just about every addiction possible, from heroin to alcoholism to using pills to using any type of drug. We normally suggest for people to use, especially if they're really on the alcohol or the heroin or barbiturates, we prefer them to actually go to and use another plant medicine called Iboga first to go through detox before coming to us. But we've had been into situations where people could not go nor afford it and came to us first. I had one gentleman, a young kid, 19 years of age. His mother brought him to us when she did a ceremony, and him and his girlfriend were both heroin addicts. Matter of fact, they had stopped doing heroin the day before they came to us. And after coming to us, the first day of ceremony, he was in tears because this drug has gotten him and he can't get away from it. After 2 days of ceremony, this kid came to me and told me, he's like, look, I've never in my life thought I could be done with this drug. And now I feel like I at least have a chance. And I told him, I said, look, if you want to stay away from this drug, you're going to have to leave the area that you're in and not go back. You're going to have to go somewhere else. So him, his mother, and his girlfriend got on a bus, traveled across the United States to California, stopping in different places camping, ended up in California at an ashram, and this now guy has been clean from drugs for 4 years.
Well,
and now he's going back to the ceremony next weekend to tell his story and going to the Amazon to learn to work with the medicine. And that's weekend.
So you just said something what I want to ask you about. You said going to the Amazon to learn to work with the medicine. What is that about?
There's courses for people who are interested in learning about the medicine. There is a 6-week, 10-week course followed by a 2 to 3 year training underneath the shaman as an apprentice. The Ayahuasca Foundation in Iquitos, Peru, hosts this ceremonial practice for persons that are interested in the healing ways of ayahuasca or plant medicine.
So you basically go there and live for a while.
That's right.
Under the tutelage of a shaman who is a native shaman of a tribe there?
Yes. First, you will go to the Ayahuasca Foundation and learn the basics course, the crash course, the 6-week course, the 10-week course. Attend those courses, then it is up to you to find Prendero in the time to apprentice for the next 3 to 5 years.
So did they choose you or do you choose them?
You can go and ask if they choose you.
Okay. And is there any particular tribe that this is associated with, or is this throughout?
This is just known throughout Peru. Not in Peru, there's no particular tribe. In Brazil, there are particular tribes. The Huni-Kuin tribe, they do different types of training. The Yanuwana tribe, they do particular trainings as well.
And where was yours?
Mine was in Brazil, in Manaus. And I was trained underneath more of a Santo Daime church that was there. And his name was Ronaldo. And he is our teacher and our guide. And he's been not only a good friend of mine, but a spiritual advisor for a very long time.
You sent a picture with the email.
This is Gaspar. He is a master shaman from Peru. I will be hosting him second week of June. He's going to be doing an ayahuasca workshop here, teaching about how to sing the plants, teaching how to use Florida water, teaching how to actually work with ayahuasca in more of an Amazon way versus the Western cultural way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be here doing a workshop the second week of June. We are filling up very quick for that retreat. We only have 10 spots left. So it's filling up very fast.
So tell us about a retreat. What happens? They go from Friday to Sunday?
Yes. The first thing a person has to know about our retreats is we're not open to the public. Everyone has to be a member of our church. To become a member, there is a one-time $150 donation to the church. This is how the church stays open and running. Once they've paid that donation to the church, then they can book a retreat. Our retreats are $350 for the weekend. This comes with 2 sessions, one on Friday night, one on Saturday night. It comes with free basic accommodation, breakfast, lunch, as well as yoga, meditation, and breath work. It also comes with integration. Check-in time would be on Friday between 3 and 6. After 7, orientation starts. At 8 o'clock, we do the cleansing of opening the ceremony and cleanse everybody. And around 8:30, 9 o'clock, we will consume our sacrament. After consuming our sacrament, people will sit up in a meditative state for the first 30 minutes. And then after 30 minutes, they will lie down. Within the first hour and a half, we will ring a gong. And at that time, if a person does not feel the medicine, they will rise up. And then we will give them the second dose. The first dose on the first night is mainly for you to get used to the medicine, to see if there's any side effects that you're not able to handle. And then we're able to give you more. The second night, we do a little bit more for the person because we have a better understanding of who they are and if they can handle the medicine. There was no allergic reaction. There was no major side effects for anybody. So we have a better understanding about that person. So at that night, the second night, they can have more medicine if they wish, or they can stay at the same dose and they go with another dose a couple hours later. On Saturday day in the morning, we have a multitude of different types of healing modalities that we do here at the church. Saturday day, there's an option to do a daytime ceremony versus a nighttime ceremony. If a person chooses this, they are not allowed to eat breakfast in the morning. That means they've got a complete empty stomach and the medicine works very efficiently. This being in the daytime versus the nighttime, there are no music being played, and a person is there to be connected more to Mother Earth or Pachamama. And they can see. They can see, because at nighttime you really can't see. And in the daytime you can see and hear everything. So it's a very, very powerful ceremony. For those of the people that are not choosing a daytime ceremony, there's other modality, healing modalities that we're using. We use Reiki. So we have a place for people to go and do Reiki in the nature. Mm-hmm. We have acupuncture that we do here. We have massage therapists that do massage here. We have people that do breath work as well as yoga and yoga instruction. So these things are going to on throughout the day for the people who do not choose to do the ayahuasca daytime ceremony.
Okay. What does integration, you said there's integration, what's that?
Correct. Integration is more of a, it's a group talk therapy. Each day after ceremony, we hold a circle, and each person gets to explain how their ceremony went, what came up, what if they had a very difficult time, or if they had a hard time processing something that happened. This is where we talk about this, and everybody gets to tell their story. And it really helps with the functions of the medicine.
Chris, how many times have you partake with these meds?
Over 285 times.
And do you purge every time you consume it?
No. No, I'm more sometimes purged because I'm in front of somebody and I got there and it's so I purge because of them, not because I'm drinking the medicine.
Why would you do it because of them?
Because it's an energetic release. Sometimes a person during the medicine isn't able to purge. And
right.
The one thing, medicine man or the shaman, if they're within close proximity of that energy, they will purge for them.
Oh, that's interesting. That don't sound too sexy, Matthew.
It definitely comes with a job title.
Yeah, I can imagine you. I can imagine. So after a while, Chris, I'm hearing you say, I'm imagining that you're saying that if you go through this process a number of times, that the need for purging gets less and less because of how you're living or what you're working through. Am I on the right track with that?
Yeah. For some people, I mean, believe it or not, the more you do the medicine, you expect the purge. You want the purge. You really want to release energetic that's in your body or energy
mm-hmm.
that you picked up along the way
yeah.
to come out. So it's one of those things you expect to do. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. You know, you might go to the bathroom or some way the medicine's coming out of your body, regardless if you want it to or not. It's either going to come out through sweat, through tears, through happiness, or however the medicine's going to come out. So, but there are times where myself and my team, we drink the medicine and we don't purge. And, well, dang, I didn't purge. So, but that's not the case all the time. It's just sometimes it happens. It doesn't happen.
Okay.
What kind of taste does this stuff have?
Not a good taste. It's very bitter, very nasty.
Uh-oh.
But the first time it actually goes down, it's pretty good for people. People can handle taking the medicine. The medicine is a very intelligent medicine. It has a, addiction. It won't let someone take advantage of the medicine. So every time you consume the medicine after the first few times, it gets harder to drink the medicine. This is to prevent the medicine from being abused. And if the medicine feels like you're trying to abuse it, it will instantaneously make you puke it right back up.
It's medicine.
Well, 285 times sounds like a lot. So how would you describe the benefit of that? Because that's a pretty big commitment.
The great benefit is your body definitely gets healing and cleansing. The downside to it the diet that sometimes you have to adhere to before drinking the medicine. So it can, your diet can swing like crazy. One day you can definitely eat fish and chicken, and the next few days you can only eat vegetables. So your diet swings from one to extreme to another. The upside to it is you really, really get to become more connected, not only with yourself, not only with nature, but each and every person that comes to the church. You get super connected. And this is the benefit.
So that connection, it makes it easier to have with other people?
Correct. If you're already an intuitive person, someone who is very intuitive, after consuming the medicine, you become more intuitive and you can see certain things that people need help with. Whether it's dark outside, it's really, really dark within a ceremonial area, and sometimes you can get an energy feeling from that person that they're actually struggling, and you can go there and help that person, whether they're struggling from some type of past trauma or they're actually struggling medically. You can actually feel this, and you can get that energy, and you can be there to help them.
Hmm. So you said that there are some complications with this, and that's things you've already described. Is there something else that we don't
there
know
are,
about?
There are certain people that cannot consume this medicine. Not to say it actually won't help them. It's just there are complications that can arise. A person who has taken any type of antidepressants, this cannot be taken within 6 weeks of someone consuming the medicine. They need to completely come off of antidepressants, MEOI inhibitors, or SSRIs. And the reason because is the ayahuasca itself is an MEOI inhibitor.
Okay.
If they get too much of this in their system when consuming the ayahuasca, it can lead to very serious complications, including death.
Oh, wow.
So we have to be very, very cautious. We do a medical evaluation on each person that comes. The other people that cannot consume this medicine would be a person suffering from bipolar or schizophrenia. And the reason they cannot do this because it can send them into psychosis. They can go into psychosis anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, and for some cases, never come out of it. So this is why
there goes 45% of America.
You're cynical. That's a cynical statement. So, but I do think that that makes sense. So those are the major boundaries with those two mental illnesses.
Yeah, you have to be – those two mental illnesses, there are other things that can cause problems, but these are things that we can work out. There have been cases where I have received someone who did not tell me that they were bipolar, and we found out that they were bipolar. There were a situation where I had a person come to me that did not tell me they were on an antidepressant and eventually told me they were on an antidepressant. So we have to have protocols set up to make sure that nothing bad happens. And once we find out, the bipolar situation, we found out because we gave them the medicine and she went into psychosis. But we did our protocol system by being with her and staying with her and going through her with it. And after she came out of it, she was very thankful. But believe it or not, you know, even though the medicine might cause psychosis in a bipolar person, we honestly think it actually can be extremely beneficial to them and maybe even reverse it. I can't say I'm not a doctor, but if this was done in a clinical setting, I think there could be major benefits for things like that. And other things we've witnessed that we've never seen before. I had a 35-year-old autistic man who came to me. His mother and father brought him to us as their last hope. And the kid had a very droopy face. His head stayed down. His whole body shrugged down. And he didn't say two words. And they brought him to us. And he consumed the medicine. And he reverted back into a 2-year-old child. Screamed and kicked and cried and for 4 or 5 hours. I felt that this medicine probably would not be for him at all. I was going to call his parents and say, I'm sorry, I can't give him the medicine. He's just not ready, and it might not be right for him. But the next day, things started changing. No longer was his face droopy, and he was consistent with a frown on his face, and his body was hunched over. He was actually looking up, and his shoulders were back, and he was communicating with people. And not much, but he was literally talking to people, and autistic people normally don't do this.
Yeah.
So throughout the day, I was debating whether I was going to give him medicine at all, and I'd have even told him that I was probably not going to give him medicine. But there was one thing that he said that night, kicking and screaming like a two-year-old child. He looked at me and he says, Chris, please tell me this is going to make me better. And I told him, I was like, look, if you relax and allow the medicine to do its work, I am sure that it will help you. And that's why the next day, that kept going through my head. Maybe it might work. Maybe we should give him another chance, just to give him a little bit lower dose. And I did. I gave him a lower dose, and he sat there like a man, and he meditated, and he allowed that medicine to work. Sometime through the night, I guess he texted his mother and father. And whatever he texted his mother and father, they called me immediately in tears. They said they had never heard their son express emotions and feelings.
Wow.
When they came to pick him up the next day, this kid was smiling. His shoulders were back. His face wasn't drooped. The mother almost fell out because she'd never seen this out of her son in 35 years. And this ayahuasca with an autistic 35-year-old man in 2 days.
It's a good story.
And then we have thousands of stories, very similar, from military veterans who suffer from PTSD, which we filmed live, by the way, and different stories from all people from all over the United States. No, really all over the world. We've had people from Saudi Arabia fly in one weekend just to do the medicine.
What's the movie you're talking about? It's from, what's it called? From Shock to Awe or something like that?
That is correct. Yeah, From Shock to Awe. It was filmed by a good friend of ours named Luke Cote. And this film is actually going to be showcased this year in Oakland, California, actually in 18 days at the 2017 Psychedelic Conference there in Oakland, California. We followed two military veterans around for 2 years prior to doing the film, and then watched them, what they looked like on medication, what they looked like going through the process of coming off of all the medication that they were on, the process of going to the VA and what it looks like in a VA as they're waiting for help and all that stuff. And then we filmed them coming here and taking the medicine and watching them go through their process. As they walk, these two military veterans walking through the door, I think someone dropped something, a suitcase or something, and made a noise, and they flinched, like literally flinched, both of them, scared. And after one day of the medicine, just one day of drinking and consuming the medicine, going through a pretty hard time, the next night before ceremony, we live out on a 4.5-acre land, and a couple properties down, they shoot rifles. And around 7 o'clock at night, right before we got ready for ceremony, we're in a circle talking, and someone fires off 2 rounds. Both of the military veterans looked at each other and laughed. It didn't scare them. They didn't flinch. They just started laughing. And that was that one day of being on the medicine. After the second day of medicine and a daytime ceremony, you couldn't tell that they were the same men that showed up. Now, one of the military veterans kept on traveling around the world using the medicine. The other military veteran waited a full year before he drank again, which he came to me 2 weeks ago to drink again. He had said, Chris, I waited too long. I should have came back 3 or 4 months, and I waited too long. Now I need the medicine again. So we don't charge these military veterans to come here to consume the medicine, as we want to see their process and their evolution of this medicine and how it works. And they've both have completely turned 360 and changed their lives. One more than the other, but they both have changed their lives for the good.
So the one that kept using it, how often did he do it?
What was that again?
The veteran that kept using the medicine over the course of the year, how often did he use it? Well, really, I'm asking a different question.
Yeah, he actually used the medicine probably about 6 or 7 times more. Plus, he also used different kinds of medicine. He did a MDMA treatment. He also did a psilocybin treatment. He did an Iboga treatment, and he also did an ayahuasca treatment. So he saw all the different ways of healing through the plant medicine world.
So we're almost at the end of our conversation. I had more questions, but how much time we have left, Lamont?
You got time. You can go.
Okay. What are the kinds of plants do you use in your ceremonies?
We use a couple different types of plants, and we use a frog medicine. The other types of plants that we use in a ceremony, one is called rapé, or hapé, or hapalita. It's spelled R-A-P-E, like rape, but an accent on it. So don't get it confused with the way it's spelled.
Okay.
This is a shamanic show. It's made with mapacho, and it's grind down to extremely fine powder, and it's blown up your nose. Not like cocaine. It doesn't work. But what it does is it cleans up the body energetically and grounds a person. The other medicine that we use is called Sananga or Sanango. It is an eye medicine that helps to decalcify the pineal gland. It's very, very powerful and very strong. On a scale from 1 to 10, it's a 30 on the pain scale. It burns, and it burns bad. But it needs to do what it needs to do to decalcify the pineal gland from all the calcification that people have gotten over the years from fluoridization of the water, from all types of stuff they put in their body. The other medicine that we use is called kombu. This is a frog medicine or a frog poison. This medicine is burned in someone's arm in something we call points. And normally we give anybody anywhere from 3 to 5 to 7 points, and we apply this medicine. This medicine is a very, very, very powerful medicine. It has 5,000 times more peptide than morphine, with none of the side effect of morphine. So it gets rid of pain. It also helps with people with immune issues, people who suffer from Crohn's disease, Lyme disease, or anything that messes up your immune system. This medicine will help. It definitely.
You've had experience with it helping people with Lyme disease?
Yes.
Because I have some clients who've struggled with that, and it's incredible.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing. It's a very difficult thing for people. This medicine helps get rid of the pain, anti-inflammatory responses to it. It helps a lot.
And
what does it mean? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, in order for people to get these medicines, they have to join your church, correct?
It cannot be open to the public. If we were open to the public, we would be scrutinized for different types of drugs.
Oh, we can't hear you, Chris.
If we were open to the public, we would be scrutinized by different federal agencies. So that's why we're private.
Still can't hear you very well.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. Yes, to be able to use any of these medicines, you have to be a member of the church. We cannot be open to the public. If we were open to the public, I think we would probably be harassed by different types of federal agencies because of the
yeah,
type
I understand.
Of medicines that we use.
Well, you have to be part of the church. I mean, you got to be a believer in that sense, I mean, legally, to protect yourselves legally. I understand that part. because it's really part of the sacred ritual. This is not recreational.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't. No one comes here to have fun. There's nothing that we do here at this church that is fun and enjoyable, other than meeting people and maybe singing and dancing. But the rituals that we go through, these are not fun. They're not fun at all. And it's not meant to be fun. It's meant to really be serious and come in with the right mindset to understand that this medicine is for your religious belief, your spiritual awakening.
Well, do you recommend that people, say somebody comes and does the first weekend, how often do you recommend that they continue with it? Is one time enough? What's your suggestion?
No, since they're a member of the church, the typical member of the church usually comes back and sees us. If they have problems, probably about every 4 to 6 weeks. If they do not have problems, I'd say probably every 3 to 6 months.
What do you mean problems?
Okay, if someone suffers from trauma, if someone was raped, or was abused, or someone's physically has problems with pain or something like that, they would come more often. But for a person who is just spiritually enlightened and want to be more connected to their belief, I'd say 3 to 6 months.
Okay. And every ceremony is pretty much the same, meaning a weekend, it's a weekend experience. It's not like a one day or just half a day. Correct.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't do the one-day experiences unless they absolutely have been with us for quite some time and understand how the medicine actually works. Because to just for one day, it's you need to prepare. You need to go on a diet. And to do all that just for one day, no, you need to really prepare for it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. So right now, there are only 3 different places in the United States one can go to have the ayahuasca experience?
That is correct. There are a lot of underground churches, and there are, I think the Santo Daime has 2 or 3 different other churches. One's in California, one's in north of California somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then there's one in Mexico, and I do believe there's one in Oregon or something like that.
Oh, I know one more question. You're growing the plants?
Yes, we are. We are going to be growing the plant this year on our 4.5-acre land. We're going to be growing 256 vines, followed by 100 trichuna bushes. Part of our mission is to replant. If you're going to consume the medicine, it is your obligation to replant this medicine. If you can't plant it, find somewhere that you can. Because the more people that consume this medicine, because it's globally now, it's not just in the Amazon, it's not just here, it's everywhere in the world. So the more people that consume it and don't, it won't be around. And it takes 10 years to harvest this. It's not something
you. So you get yours from South America?
What was that again?
Where do you get yours from?
We get our medicine from Brazil.
Brazil. Oh, that's cool.
Chris, we're down to the last minute of the show, so tell our listeners how to get in contact with you, please.
Yes, if anybody would like to get in contact with us, you can go to ayahuascachurches.org. That's A-Y-A-H-U-A-S-C-A, churches, C-H-U-R-C-H-E-S.org. Or you can contact us at 407-360-6297.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chris. We got a world of information, a world of knowledge from
you.
Because I learned something.
Me too.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Very interesting. And we wish you the best. Absolutely the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful day.
All right.
We're going to try.
No, we're
going to. Mike's
going to
see if he can get people to work on the right tooth.
Stop it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week. Canna Play and Play, Matthew Lamont Patterson. Thank you so much for joining us.
that I ever laid eyes on you. I recall the moment, seems like only yesterday. I never thought you'd ever come my way. Not only did you do it, but you stayed. You stayed right here, and I wanna thank heaven I never had to change my mind. It's almost too good to be real. I can't believe you love me like the very first day we met. A love story that I know we won't forget. Still going and it ain't over yet. As long as you love me. I was out there chasing fame and fortune.
Well,
trying to do the things a man should do. But I could still call you my lady. Cause I'm coming right back home to you.
Girl, you put up with my
messing around. But down my messing around. And I gotta thank you for the loyalty you give to me.
Wanna thank heaven
I
never had to change my mind.
It's almost too good to be real. I can't believe you love me like the very first day we met. A love story that I know we won't forget. Still going and it ain't over yet. As long as you love me like the very first day we met. A love story that I know we won't forget. Cause we're still in love. Now listen, baby, ooh, nobody lies.